Take your Bibles, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. A fairly familiar passage, and I want to talk tonight on the topic of how churches change and do not know it. How churches change and do not know it. And I want you to listen to me carefully tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Follow along with me if you will. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Life's tough when you're little, you know? It just really is. You know, all those important things in life, you know? It's all right. Don't worry. We've all been there, either on the giving or the receiving side. Unfortunately, it was more the receiving side for me. Verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, verse 17, stay there. We're going to start with that verse, and I want to talk tonight about how churches change and don't know it. Now, I want to start by saying this. You don't have to come out from the wrong crowd if you don't go into the wrong crowd. You know, you don't have to come out from among them if you did not go among them. So if you're not part of the wrong crowd, you don't have to come out of the wrong crowd. if we don't spend time with those from whom we're to separate, we don't have to separate. We're already separated. Now, by the way, I've tried to live my life this way. I've tried to bring our church to live our lives this way. And now, listen to me carefully. People change, okay? People change. Did you know churches change? I hate saying this. Oftentimes, preachers change. Can I tell you something? That doesn't change. That's never changed. God's word does not change. Did you know something else? God doesn't change. He said, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. That means as long as we stay with God, we don't have to change. But what happens is churches begin to change, and I'm going to show you how it takes place. More churches change and become, and I'm going to use a word here, they become liberal. And I'm not saying that they start that way, but they end up that way. And they did not intend to ever go that way. I don't think a good church ever gets up and says, we're tired of this, we're going to be liberals. It doesn't happen just that quick. Now, it may appear that way to some, but it's been a long process. And I want to show you what I mean. They didn't start off liberal. Churches that change, listen to this statement. They go from being productive to becoming useless. They stop their soul winning and replace it with other things. They start replacing it with intellectualism. They start replacing it with going deep into the Word of God. They mask it, and then they start making fun of what they came out of, okay? So what happens is they were on fire, they start backing off, they become useless, then they start saying, well, we used to do that, but that's not what really builds a church. God's more interested in the quality than the quantity. Those kind of yard birds. Now, I think God's interested in the quality, but he's also interested in the quantity.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Okay? you don't look at your children. I have three children. I don't say, well, got two that are sincere and got one that's not. I'm interested in the two that are and not the one that isn't. No, they're all my children. I'm interested in all three. God's interested in all of his children. Now, most churches don't go liberal at first. They go useless. When they go useless, they look for ways to explain why they're not doing what the Bible and God said they're supposed to do. Usually, as I said, it ends up in intellectualism. Well, we're not going to have revival preaching anymore. We're going to have expository preaching. There's a word that rhymes with expository. I won't give you what it is, but to God, that's what it is. All right? Did you know you'll not find one exegetical or expository sermon anywhere in there?
That's right. That's right. Yes,
not one. Every time Jesus preached, it was a topical message.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Every time. Anytime anybody in the Bible preached, it was topical. Often, especially, there were times it was even political. I get people get upset with me sometimes. They'll say, preacher, you talk about politics every so often. Yeah? It's all the way through the Bible. If you don't hear the truth, how are you going to know what the truth is? Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun here. They explain it away so that they don't have to go soul winning. Well, we're not going to go soul winning. We're gonna be after souls, and we believe in people getting saved, but we're gonna take a census. And I'll have everybody go out and take a census. And we'll find out who's really interested, and then we'll send trained soul winners out there who can go talk to the people that are really interested. And then we'll have a higher percentage of people saved. Well, who are you to judge who's ready to get saved and who's not?
Right.
Then you have people that say, well, we don't even believe in being confrontational. We're just going to put a door hanger on their door, and we'll call that our soul winning. And they go to every door in town and put a hanger on the door and said, man, we've gone to every door in town. We've knocked on every door in town. They didn't knock on one of them. They just put paper on the door. I'm not against you putting paper on somebody's door if it's done the right way and it's not toilet paper or anything like that. But I'm not against it, but may I say this, that's not a replacement for soul winning.
Amen. Right.
God didn't say go house to house and put a paper on their door. He said take the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Give the gospel. All right? Ooh, that's a pizza. All right. Thank you, April. Now... Yeah, everybody's just waiting to see who's going for it. It was kind of like the time when Fred knew it was his, but he waited for Wally to get it so he didn't get in trouble. Yeah, buddy. Now, I want to talk to you. How do we keep that from happening to us personally? How do we keep that from happening to our church? I want to talk to you about that tonight. I think I have three. I really only have 2 points. One's a little longer than the other, but just hang on. Here we go. Number one, we should not join up with people that are unlike us, and I mean unlike the Bible, for any reason.
Amen.
Did you know we're not supposed to join up from the people that are like the world? I'm against abortion. I think abortion, matter of fact, I know abortion is murder. I think every abortionist doctor is guilty of murder just as anybody else that's pulled a trigger or slit somebody's throat. Abortion is murder. But listen to this statement. We're not going to go out and protest the local abortion clinics. Now, I'm against it. But going out and protesting the abortion clinics is what the world does. You say, well, what are we going to do about it, preacher? We're going to knock on doors, win people to Jesus Christ, show them about eternal life, keep and teach them what the Word of God says, and then they won't go out and have abortions.
Amen. That's right.
See, it's more important to get them saved than to protest the abortion clinic.
Amen.
I'm against the sodomite lifestyle. I am diabolically 100% against the LGBT lifestyle. Not against the people, I'm against the lifestyle. But listen to this. We're not going to go have a anti-sodomite march. say why. We're going to go out and win people to Christ and either convert them from it or keep them from going to it.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's how you do it. I'm against drugs and alcohol. I'm against the drug problem we have in our area. But the answer to the drug problem in Martinsburg area is, and the heroin problem, is not open a rehab clinic. It's winning them to Christ and getting Jesus in their life, and that'll change them that quick.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
I'm going to make a statement here. I'm not for the alcohol. It's amazing to me, alcohol is legal. It doesn't make sense to me. That's like handing your kid a candy bar and say you're not allowed to have candy. You know, you're allergic to sugar, but here's a candy bar, just don't eat it. Here's a pack of Skittles, don't eat them. That is not happening around me. Now, wait a minute. But I'm going to make a statement. We're not going to start a recovery program either. Say, what's a recovery program for, preacher? You ought to go out and get them saved, clean their life up, teach them how to go out and win souls, and they'll quit getting drunk.
Amen. Right.
I know what I'm talking about. We don't need a 10-step, 8-step, 12-step, or 27-step program.
Amen.
Almost every quote-unquote Christian recovery program is a copy of the world's programs. They just put different words to it.
Right.
Liberals, now listen to this. Liberals have no fire on their own. They don't. I like using this word. They're parasites. You know what a parasite is? That's a tick. A tick can't survive till it's got something that's alive to suck living blood from to keep it going. Everybody understand that? That's exactly what a liberal is. They attach themselves to something that's alive, suck the blood out of it, and when it dies, they pop off and go somewhere else.
Right.
They are there to suck the lifeblood out of what is living, but they have to have the living host there so that they can maintain their life. They can't reproduce it on their own. Let me show you what I mean. I think we ought to take all the sodomites and put them on an island, mm-hmm. and in one generation, we're done with them.
Amen.
They can't reproduce.
They
are only able to because they are parasites playing on our society. 0.03%. Not 3%. 0.03% of America's population is LGBT. That's 0.03%. Now listen to this statement very carefully. And our president wants a directive that all public schools, public colleges, government schools, government colleges, government, anything to do with government control and government funding, all the bathrooms have to be changed and all of the locker rooms have to be changed to whatever you self-identify with. For 0.03% of America's population. Folks, that's out of the pit of hell. Number one, he doesn't have the right to do that. Well, you can't legislate morality. Well, he's legislating immorality.
That's right.
Now, did you know you won't find a communist or socialist country anywhere that is pure communism or pure socialism? Can I tell you why? It can't exist. It goes bankrupt very quickly. There has to be some form of capitalism allowed. Every communist country in the world, go there, look it up. The people are dirt poor. Every one of them. And they have to have some sort of capitalism in order to survive. Because when you take the desire to produce and succeed away from people, they quit producing. They really do. Moving the minimum wage to $15 an hour is the stupidest thing America can do.
Yes, sir.
It's taking the desire to work away from people.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
period. And I know I'm getting old, but I started at 315 an hour. Actually, I started at 285 an hour. Back in the late or early 80s, minimum wage was 285. Did you know there's a reason it was entry-level jobs? When I finished working after 3 years in a machine shop, I was making about $7.50 an hour. And I was making okay money. Skilled trades were making $15, $16 an hour. Now, that's flipping burgers at McDonald's. Something's not right about this picture. See, you have to understand, well, how can somebody make a living on, you know, $8 an hour? Minimum wage jobs were not made for you to make a living on as an adult. They're entry-level jobs. But America has gotten rid of all of her productivity, and that's the only thing we have left is service jobs. What do we produce other than immorality and entertainment? Steel factories are done. Coal mines are going down. Auto industries moved out to other parts of the world. We don't produce an awful lot in America anymore. And that's why we have to raise the minimum wage to make it look like everybody can flip burgers for $15 an hour and make a living. Good night. Liberals religiously, let me show you something. I'm going to use a name here. Don't get mad at me because you'll get ready to kill somebody later. Billy Graham was needed by the liberals. Did you know that Billy Graham back in the 40s and the 50s was as fundamental as I am? But Billy Graham wanted to have big citywide revivals. Billy Graham got, by the way, Billy Graham was one of the editors, or one of the, was on the board of the Sword of the Lord with John Rice. But when he started yoking up with the local ministerial associations, having citywide meetings, and turning over all of the prospects to all denominations, Dr. John Rice, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., and a couple others said, you either stop that or we're cutting our ties with you and you're done with us. And he said, well, I got a big enough crowd. I don't need you. And the liberals needed a Billy Graham. I don't think Billy Graham did right, but the liberals needed a Billy Graham. Now, Billy Graham's considered a radical right-winger. Good night. I'm so far off the peg, they wouldn't even know. Jerry Falwell, same thing. Jerry Falwell, back in the 60s and 70s, was as right-wing, radical, nuts as I am. Do you know who preached the first graduation service of Hiles Anderson College in 1973? Jerry Falwell. He was that fundamental. But Jerry Falwell gathered people around him. He got going in the political realm, got interested in the moral, or started the moral majority. He got off on all these side things, and he had to bring people in to run things that were not like him, and everything started going downhill very quickly. I don't think Jerry Falwell was as liberal as everything around him, but it got way out of control and he couldn't control it anymore. He ended up changing. I don't think he was as changed as far left as his son is. But by the way, they think Liberty University is a right-wing fundamental Baptist college. Lord have mercy. I wouldn't send my dog there. Baylor University is a Southern Baptist college. Wake Forest University is a Southern Baptist college. Those, everybody doing all right? Okay, now hang on. What happened? They started going to instead of coming away from. But may I say this, you don't have to come out of that if you don't go to that. That's the whole point. New evangelicals are liberals in doctrine who talk with fundamentalist language. You'll hear the term evangelical Christians. Say, what is that? That's people that use liberal doctrine and they use fundamentalist terms. You got to be careful when you go soul winning. I've had Catholics even tell me that they're saved. They don't know what it means. They really don't. I've had Southern Baptists look me square in the face and I'd say, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Yep. Have you ever been saved? Sure have. Do you believe there's a heaven? Yep. Believe there's a hell? Nope. You don't believe in a hell, but you believe you got saved. Yep. What'd you do to get saved? They start giving you a list of things they did, and I've won Southern Baptist to Christ that told me they were saved. That's called new evangelicals. They use fundamental terminology, but they don't use fundamental doctrines. These are, please don't get mad at me. This is where these Bible churches have come from. They were too ashamed to be labeled Baptist, so they dropped Baptist and put the word Bible on there instead. They didn't want the stigma of being a Baptist. Can I tell you something? I was born Baptist, I'm going to die Baptist, and I'm going to live Baptist.
Amen.
Period. Not because I think Baptists are everything, but I know this. They follow that book close enough that I'm going to follow it. Amen. By the way, that's why I'm an independent Baptist.
Amen.
I don't have headquarters telling me what to do. I got the Word of God to tell me what to do.
Good.
By the way, that's what Baptists were originally.
Amen.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. These are the places and Christian colleges and churches that say, well, we're Baptistic in doctrine, but we're open to everybody. Puke. Sorry, vomit. I'm going to use some names here. Pensacola Christian College. It's not Baptist. Never has been, never will be. It's new evangelical. Well, it says in their handbook that we are Baptistic in doctrine. And if you read their doctrine, they're not Baptistic in doctrine either.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right?
Right.
I'm talking about, and I'm not naming a church here, okay? Because there's one locally that's named this, but I'm talking about independent type Bible churches. Well, we're Baptistic. No, you're not. You took the name Baptist off your sign. And you took the name Baptist off your sign in an effort to be, A, not have the stigma, but B, because you weren't Baptist when you had the name on your sign.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Boy, I'm having fun here. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Educating our young people in what I would call open schools, open Christian schools, has caused us to yoke up with people from whom we're supposed to separate from.
Right.
Everybody doing all right? Here we go. High schools that play other Christian schools that don't dress like, have the same doctrines that we have, go soul winning like we do, we shouldn't be playing them in sports. Because when we go there and they come to our place, we're putting our seal of approval on it. Our young people are endearing their hearts and becoming friends with people that they're not supposed to be around.
Yes, sir.
And I know what I'm talking about. I've stopped basketball games and volleyball games and told people to go home. Brother Barnes reminded me, we were shutting it down, but and I inherited a little bit of a mess. And I got there, got through part of a ball game, and things got out of hand. I walked out. I grabbed the referees, and I said, let me have the ball. I grabbed the microphone. I said, folks, these folks aren't even supposed to be here. They're not like us. God bless you. We're not against you, but you're going home. Game's over. We forfeit. We lose. See you later. And I cleared the gym that quick. Say why? I didn't want our young people around that kind of trash.
Amen.
There was girls out there wearing shorts playing volleyball, and you could read what size underwear they had on through their clothing because it was so tight. I said, that's it. I'm done. I'm not doing this. I can't take it. I don't believe Christian schools ought to be playing Catholic schools or public schools. Or other non-denominational schools. Well, it says Christian. Catholics call themselves Christians every once in a while. Now, wait a minute. I don't think colleges are any different. Now, God said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Now, wait a minute. Well, it's better than the public school. According to who? Now, when we place our stamp of approval, our seal of approval, as we play ball with these other schools, listen to this, our young people then become more liberal because we've allowed those influences to influence them. Then they'll become friendly with, and they go to colleges that we would not recommend because their friends are going there, and we wonder where our young people are going. By the way, I don't think we ought to hire those colleges' graduates to be teaching in our schools either.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Well, they've got a degree from, so. Great. Did you know you can get a degree online, too?
Yes, sir. That's right.
Boy, I'm having fun. When you play with things like that, you dilute what you are. Don't dilute what you are. That's new evangelicals. Number two. Got to hurry. We join for a good cause and then discover we differ on more important matters than which we agree. But we've already joined them and it's too late. Okay. I hate communism. I hate socialism. But I'm not going to join up and go against the I hate Bernie Sanders program either. You say, why? I believe in preaching the truth, teaching people the truth, and letting them make decisions based on right and wrong in the Word of God. Can I tell you something? If people understood that book, more communism and socialism would wash away in our world.
Right. That's right.
Preach it. It really would. I said this a couple weeks ago from this pulpit right here. I said the problem in America, long before the politics went bad, is because the pulpits went cold. Churches quit preaching the truth and allowed the negative to come in, and now preachers cower all the over the place. By the way, I'm not against talking about politics, but may I say this, it's not going to be all politics either. You'll go long and hard to find as much real Bible truth and doctrine preached in most churches than you do right here. And that's not bragging, I just know. I hate the drug problem, but I'm not going to join up and be a volunteer for the new drug rehab place. Make a statement to you. Methadone clinic. Do you know what that is? They give drug addicts drugs.
Get them off drugs.
Methadone is drugs.
Yes.
It's the same stuff they're smoking. They just give it to them from the government, and the government pays for it. And they're hoping to give them enough of it to where they can wean them off of it. A methadone clinic is a meth clinic. When they're taking meth, the government's giving it to them. And you're paying for it, just so you know. That's what they want to build in Martinsburg. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. By the way, more good can be done when you win people to Christ and watch God change their life.
That's right.
Amen.
More happened to that man right there when he got saved in a short period of time than everything else that was pumped into him for 77 years.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
God's good.
Listen to that man's testimony. What happened to him when he got saved? And that man. And that man, I go down the line. Say, why? What happened? Well, when God comes in and you get born again, there's a real change.
That's right.
Now, not everybody changes all at once. Not everybody changes at the same rate. And some people don't have time to change. And I understand that. But may I say this, their eternities change one way or the other. The answer is not joining up with them and then finding out, boy, we got a lot that we're not in agreement with. It's stay away from it altogether so you don't have to sift through the garbage to figure out what's acceptable and what's not. I'll promise you, if you went to the dumpster back here, you could probably find some food in it that's worth eating. But I'm not going to dig through it and eat it, are you? Why do we want to say, well, it's okay, there's some good food in it. Okay, go sit in the garbage and play in the garbage and find something to eat. But I don't have to play in the garbage to find something to eat when there's other things available. By the way, I'm going to make a statement here as your pastor. Listen up, parents. Listen up, teenagers and younger people. I will not recommend Bible colleges that are not a part of a church that's not doctrinally like us.
Amen.
I didn't say that they didn't have Baptists or Baptistic in their bylaws. I said it's not a part of a church that's like ours. There's a difference. Pensacola Christian College doesn't have a church associated with it. It's just a college. I'm against it.
That's right.
Not because I think they're bad people. They're not like us. Say, well, you don't know what you're talking about, preacher. That's where you're wrong. I've seen their product for over 30 years. I know where their product goes, what their product is not. You know, in the high school and grade school curriculums that they put out, King James is only mentioned twice in 13 years of curriculum. Once, it's the person, and the other times they say that it is a good translation of the Bible. I went through 13 years worth of curriculum in a couple months. I marked every dress code violation that didn't follow the guidelines of our dress code. In our own Christian school, there was over 13,000 pictures that had dress code violations in the curriculum. I can't even tell you how many hundreds that were what we would call total nudity. They were teaching sex education in Christian material. I said, I worked for somebody at the time. I said, I can't do this. I know a better program out there. I said, here's the goods. They said, let's get rid of it, and we did. Well, it's been around for so long. It's a proven... No, it's not. It's not Christian. Everybody doing okay? It doesn't follow that book right there. When they put up Gandhi as a good Christian leader, I have troubles with that. When Martin Luther King Jr. is a great religious leader, I have problems with that. When Mahalia Jackson is a wonderful gospel singer, I have a problem with that.
Amen.
I could go on. You say, I don't believe you, preacher. Then you do the research. I've already done it. I've been through every word of all their curriculum. I've read it page by page. And I do know what I'm talking about. Everybody doing all right? I don't even want to mention some of the other colleges I have written down here. Because I won't. I'll be good. But I'll tell you, there's some very prominent college names out there that are no longer what we are.
Yes, sir. That's right.
The churches aren't. They've quit soul winning. I know two colleges in California I wouldn't want anything to do with. They teach people. They're letting their girls go on activities, and the pastor's forcing them to wear pants to go on the activities because it'll be more modest. Now, that's a wonderful testimony, is it not? Yeah, just because a lady wears pants doesn't mean that she's a filthy, dirty, rotten, good-for-nothing scum-of-the-earth sinner. But I will tell you this, if you're going to a Bible college that does that, there's something wrong. And name of a college right there. I know it's pastor. I know it's president. I went to Bible college with him. I know him personally. I know his wife and where she's from. Young man sat across the table from my wife and I and my daughter at graduation who went to that college for a year, and he said, do you know so-and-so? I said, mm-hmm. He said, a year after I got saved, I went there to Bible college. I just started eating. I didn't say a word. I wasn't going to criticize. He said, Brother Bush, he said, I couldn't take it. He said, I quit after a year. I put my food down. I said, why? He said, I'd just gotten saved. He said, I'd gotten on fire for God. He said, everything I came out of while I was there, I was going back to, because that's where everybody was at. He said, it was the same stuff I just came out of, and they want me to go back to it. I said, you're a wise young man. That's why he went to Brother Fugit's. He said, man, am I glad I found this place. He said, this is what I was looking for the first time.
Amen.
He said, I didn't have to come out of anything here. He said, I was running full bore. Now he's working in a Christian school. I was proud of that young man. He said, do you know that person? I said, mm-hmm. I went to Bible college with him. I know his wife. This is her name. Yeah, you do know him. I said, I know him quite well. He said, maybe I shouldn't have said what I said. I said, you're fine, man. He said, do you recommend people go there? I said, nope, and you're the reason why. I said, I don't believe in going that direction. By the way, these two colleges in California are the ones that turned him. Just so you know. Boy, am I having fun.
Preaching.
Nah, don't get mad. I got 5 minutes. Good. I don't listen to preachers who are with these groups because they don't believe like we believe. I said this the other day. I don't listen to Southern Baptist preachers on the radio. I really don't. Can I tell you why? They don't believe like we do. Not a one of them. They can't and stay in the convention. Now, you have some that are more fundamental than others. I'll give you that. But that's like saying there's some sewage that isn't as stinky as others. Say, preacher, that you shouldn't use that. Okay, don't. But that's the best illustration I could think of. I don't listen to non-denominational and the, who's the dude with the weird hair? Joel Osteen. And his wife. Good night. You know, that's fake. Well, they're just so nice. I'm talking about James Dobson and Hocus Pocus on the Family. James Dobson's compound out in Colorado Springs, $10 million of it was given by the Catholic Church to build. I'm talking about, who's the real suave dude from Georgia? Charles Stanley. Yeah, and then there's another one. It's about like Charles Stanley. Chucky Swindler, that's it. I mean, Chuck Swindoll. Chuck Swindoll and Charles Stanley are as wrong doctrinally as the Pope. I'm here to tell you, they are just as wrong as the Pope is doctrinally. And yet, they have these real nice voices and they sound intellectual.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of things that sound good, but it's not good for you.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
You can watch a advertisement about alcohol, and it looks good to you, but it's not good for you.
Right.
I'm not for Hollywood producing Christian movies and us sucking it down and playing them in church. Hollywood's not going to produce a fundamentally sound Christian movie, just so you know.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Amen.
Now, it may be less perverted than some of the other stuff they put out there, but it's not going to be biblical.
That's right.
I know churches that have, for their Sunday night church or Wednesday night church, and some of them even Sunday morning church, instead of preaching, showed Christian movies made by Hollywood. That was their entire church service. Well, it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives where that happens here.
Amen.
Now, how do churches change? Preachers don't get up and say what I said tonight.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We're supposed to separate from that stuff. We're supposed to get away from that stuff. I'm here to say this. If we don't go to that stuff, we don't have to come out of that stuff.
Amen.
It's a whole lot easier. Did you know I don't have people offering me drugs? Do you know people don't offer me alcohol? Once or twice. I was in a house over in Stonebridge, won a guy to Christ. He said, "Bless God, preacher." He said, "That's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me." Walked over to the refrigerator, opened it up. He said, You want a beer? Nope. Wine? Nope. Wine cooler? Nope. He didn't know any better. That's about the only time I've ever been offered, and it's because the guy didn't know any better. He was just totally thrilled about getting saved. It's a good thing Mung wasn't there. She'd have said, "Yep, yep, yep." Let's have a party. Folks, we don't have to go to the world and find out what they are and bring it to the church.
Amen.
Churches aren't supposed to be a copy of the world. We're not supposed to have their music. We're not supposed to dress like them. God said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." Did you know if you start living like a Christian, usually you don't have to separate from others. They'll scatter away from you.
That's right.
You start talking about Jesus and watch them scatter. You open that book on the job and watch the guys run. I know what I'm talking about. I mean, you can get a seat anywhere you want in the airport. Guarantee it. Sit down, pop your Bible open, and watch people just get up and move. They're like, "Man, I don't have the plague, and I took a shower last week." You know, say, how do we keep this from happening? You keep soul winning. You keep with the King James Bible. You keep with hot preaching that's preached from the right kind of preachers. And by the way, just because somebody used to preach right 10, 15, 20 years ago doesn't mean they're right today.
Right.
I know a lot of preachers that have changed. Before you start listening to them, you might ask me, "Preacher, is this person still right?" Some of you might be surprised. If you're not concerned about getting people out of hell, can I tell you something? You're probably headed back to the world with them. You know, I'm for these missionaries that go and give medicine to people to help them feel better. But did you know people that feel good die and go to hell? If all they're doing is pumping their little bodies full of IVs and penicillin to make them feel better and don't give them the gospel, what good is it?
That's right. Yes, sir.
I'm for feeding hungry tummies. God knows I'm for it, especially mine. I know people that spend an entire quote-unquote ministry going around feeding hungry people and never give them the gospel, and they go to hell with a full stomach.
Right.
Folks, we're not going to do that. I'd rather somebody die and go to heaven on a hungry tummy than have a full tummy and die and go to hell.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Amen.
Now, I'm for feeding them if we can, but may I say this, them knowing they're going to heaven when they die is far more important.
Amen.
Yes.
That's right. Amen.
Our associations are what change us. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you how you talk when nobody else is listening. You show me what your friends are, I'll show you what your music is. Guaranteed. By the way, you show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are doctrinally. I challenge you. Talk to my friends. I'll give you the list, give you their phone numbers. I associate with people that are like us. That's it. I don't spend, by the way, I have friends that have changed and I don't spend time with them, though they're still my friend. But I'm not going to spend time with them. You say, why? Because I don't want to be like what they are now. They changed, that book didn't. And when you go against that book, you change. I want to stay the same with that book. That's how our church won't change. That's how you won't change. And that's how you make it through. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I long for Grace Baptist Church to never change as far as going the wrong direction. We have got to stay with the same things that got us here. And that's how you'll never change. Don't go into the world. You won't have to come out of the world.